chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and I have spent the last 24 years as both the CEO of Technology Partners and as the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. I'm delighted to have Eric Eager on the show today. Eric is a serial entrepreneur and is the co-founder of 4 Impact Data. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. So, Eric, welcome to the Something Extra podcast. I am so happy that we were able to make this work. And we have to give a special shout out to our mutual friend, Patricia Esp, because she's the one that connected us.
Absolutely.
I'm so excited about our conversation today. So, our listeners, you are in for a treat. Eric is a serial entrepreneur. He's founded many companies. He's ran companies. He is super passionate about helping entrepreneurial businesses from the startup to the exit. And we're going to talk about all kinds of things today. But before we get into all that, Eric, I want you to tell us about the great state of Texas, because I know you were born and raised. Tell us a little bit about how you grew up. I love Texas.
I diverted off to Louisiana for a few years, but I got back as fast as I could. The great thing I love about Texas, there's so many different regions. You can go from the mountains down in Big Bend country, all the way to the Piney Woods in East Texas, to down to Houston and get to the Gulf Coast. And then obviously my love is Dallas. So, I mean, you got everything, all types of people, all types of businesses. Love it. Grew up here most of my life. And most likely, you know, God willing, I'll end up here as well.
Yeah. I know you guys are kind of outdoorsy type people. Have you done any wild boar hunting, Eric?
We're more kind of the hiking. I had 2 boys go through Boy Scouts. And so we did a lot of hiking and training, and we went and did all the high adventure camps. Unfortunately, the best one, Felmont in New Mexico, but timing had it that 1 year a fire burned out and then my son broke his foot. So we did all this training and caring for gears, but we had enough different outdoor adventures and stuff to do. So more hiking than anything.
That is really special. So let's get a little bit into your career, because I know that you went to school in Texas and then you began your career, which I personally love this company. I know the former CEO for EY. I have so much respect for EY. And I've often said to young people, EY or a company like that, you know, one of the big firms, is a great place to start, because you get so much exposure. And I know that you were there for a few years. So you started your career there, but very quickly you jumped onto the entrepreneurial wagon, maybe after 3 or 4 years, something like that.
Well, I started out in an entrepreneurial services group in EY, and I was very thankful for the time there, because they just give you so much exposure to so many areas. And the nice thing about it, they don't make you, quote unquote, sit on the bench like a lot of companies where you got to kind of sit and wait. You're right in there in the thick of it and learning and experiencing. But, you know, after watching all these entrepreneurs and learning, and they had some phenomenal companies go through and seeing all the audit, tax, and management consulting, I finally caught the bug. I left and I worked at a car dealership. I worked there for 6 years and learned all the stuff about how car dealerships operate. And what happens is that they make more money on the accessories in new cars than they actually do on the cars themselves.
I did not know that. That's crazy.
And so it's all about moving units. And one of the things that we learned is that aftermarket bolt-on accessories, those wheels and tires and all the extra stuff, I had a chance to work with a company while I was in school. And then one of the partners in that business wanted to start another business. And so I didn't know what I didn't know. So I'm a recovering CPA, as I like to say, jumped off and we started a business with, we had about $25,000 in cash and lots of lines of credit with vendors. So we learn really fast for entrepreneurs out there. There's a term called cash conversion cycle. And we learned how to get inventory in and out the door quickly and monitor and watch every dollar. That was my first entree in entrepreneurship. And back when you had to network cabling, well, guess who was pulling the cable in the warehouse?
You.
You got it. And so we grew that business. We were doing business with about 600 dealerships throughout Texas and surrounding states. Eventually brought in some partners and wanted to expand it. And this was lesson number one. Learned, you bring in advice. And again, I kept having this, what do I know? I don't know what I don't know. Here's some experts that came in. Well, experts come in and they didn't really understand some of the business. And eventually I sold my interest off to that business partners. And eventually, as a lot of entrepreneurs, that business eventually closed. You know, a lot of us could have gone, woe is me. And, you know, this is horrible because that's just never fun. It's easy for outside people to say, you know, you're learning lessons, this and that. Well, you're not the one taking all the gut punches at the time. So it's hard days.
It's hard. I know.
But learned invaluable lessons. Number one thing I give advice to entrepreneurs, like I said, I'm an accounting background. And I said, if you only have one financial statement to look at, there's an income statement, there's a balance sheet and a cash flow. I would say cash flow, cash flow, cash flow, because it doesn't matter what it says in these books. Cash is king. And make sure you got more cash coming in than you got going out. And monitor, monitor, monitor.
And making that happen is the secret, right? Making sure that you have more cash coming in than going out. But it's somewhat of a simple formula, but not always easy.
We dusted off that business and started the same business over again with, well, it was one of my fraternity brothers. I brought him into that business and we started that business. Kind of the same thing. So we were able to get a restart. And so we restarted, had some great years. And again, we expanded into multiple cities, multiple locations. So kind of took the knowledge and lessons learned and applied it there. But now here's the other thing that hits you. Sometimes there's just market conditions that hit you that are totally outside your control. So that business got caught up in one of the recessions back in the 2000s. And so people stopped buying cars. We could leverage and risk manage all we wanted to, but at the end of the day, they're not selling cars. They're not buying accessories to go on cars. And then all of a sudden we're stuck with a bunch of inventory. And eventually we shut that business down. And so that was strike number two.
That was your second business, right?
That was the second one. And I had a couple of consulting and some other businesses in there. But then eventually what happened was, is that I'd always had a love of technology. And back then, you know, we didn't have all the technology we have now. So anything I could get my hands on from a technology standpoint, I was all over it. And eventually caught the bug and went to work for some big technology companies. And they were doing implementation. So this is one of those another lessons learned along the way. I used to be in awe of these big Fortune 500 companies. I got assigned and dropped into Dell and ExxonMobil and Cargill and Shell. And so I was having to figure out stuff fast. And the one thing that kind of came to me, not to oversimplify things, but what I figured out, I thought, well, ExxonMobil is the biggest corporation in the world. They have all the answers to everything. You know, I'm an entrepreneur, mid-market. They have it figured out. They're making billions, shareholders loving them. Well, I figured out, they have the same problems as everybody else. They just got more zeros behind it.
Yeah.
And they have enough ability to get a lot of smart people to help solve some of these problems. But it was eye-opening that they had the same problems. Like one time I was asking about we were doing a vendor spend consolidation. We were trying to understand where they're buying things from. And I asked a guy, hey, can you give me a list of all your vendors so that we could categorize and get these things? And he laughed at me. And he said, Eric, I've been here for 30 years. I've been trying to do that for 30 years. It was just bigger challenges, more complexity, and it still boiled down to running the business. So eventually went to different consulting, and I eventually found my way working at Ariba. And it was one of these billion-dollar internet boom. And so I worked with their team, had a great time there, you know, working the digital marketplaces and all sorts of stuff. While I was flying all over the country, I was in five cities a day, visiting with some phenomenal people in multiple Fortune 500. What happened was we were blessed with twins, and I promised my wife that I had to get off the road.
Yeah.
In the course of this technology, I worked with a company called Claris that eventually got sold off, and it was out of Atlanta. Well, some guys had started that. It was a founder, Mr. George McMahon, and he's technical genius. He had started a company, and I didn't know him, but I knew some other people, and they asked me to come work his small company. It was about 20 people at the time. And so that started my journey into technology and software development. And
was that BizNet Software?
Yep.
Right. And then you ended up eventually becoming the president of that company.
Exactly. And, you know, I guess the key thing is that we didn't really officially have titles. So one of the things we learned for outside world, you had to put some title on it. But, you know, the name of the game was the founder. And our team was just figure it out and let's huddle up together. These are lessons learned along the way. Is we started to create a core values. And these core values was a team of people that we put together, and we focused in, hey, check the ego out the door. You know, we don't really care about titles and background. We got to get stuff done. That was a long ride from a technology standpoint, but thanks to the founder, because we had some ups and downs, and there was times that I could have been, hey, this isn't working. But at the same time, we had a couple of almost near catastrophic events twice. I think technically, two times we were bankrupt.
Oh my goodness.
And so this is this perseverance, stick through it. You know, one was one crash. Again, learning from the founder and other good people, I saw too many CEOs and other people when things go down and they just kind of ink out, they don't cut their expenses fast enough. And I saw him cut quickly. And a couple of those moves I learned from that saved the business. And it hurt. I mean, those were painful times, but it saved the business and it saved other individuals. I mean, it saved families' incomes.
Yeah. And those aren't easy things to do. If anybody thinks that the entrepreneurial journey is a get rich quick scheme, it's not. And there's going to be hard times, right?
Yeah.
You know, you and I've talked about this, but you say something about oxygen. You know, you need just enough oxygen to get to the next level. And sometimes that's the way that it feels, right?
Absolutely. At BizNet, we had some great team members and it was just a phenomenal ride. The name of the game at the end of the day is like you're playing a video game and you just got to get extra lives. You know, what happens is it's kind of like, you know, I grew up playing Donkey Kong and Pac-Man and all that when I was growing up. But the whole thing is you got to get to that next level. And getting to that next level, a lot of times, remember, you kind of get up there and you fall off and you go, and you die and you only got so many lives. So whatever you can do to stay alive, to learn what that product fit is and what that niche that you bring to the market. So you go from survival mode to some success. And then in our case, you never do it alone. Okay.
Oh my goodness.
You have to have a great team of people. And I've had a chance to go and interview and talk to other mentors and other people. And one of my mentors, StrengthFinders. And we ran and looked at personalities. And the net of it is that understanding what your strengths are and understanding and appreciating your weaknesses can be the strength of other team members. So I like to use our example, our CFO, dear friend of mine, Lori Schwinn. I knew her from University of North Texas. I was big picture, you know, strategic, and you're kind of looking around the corner and what's coming up and what we can do. But when you got me down in some of the weeds and the details, I would just fall apart. It was a weakness of mine. But guess what? Lori's strength was the details. And so I'd come up with this great idea and she would be like, hey, did you think about this? And I'd be like, oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't think about that. And so we had a team of people, you know, the founder is phenomenal. I had ideas. He had wild, crazy ideas.
Right.
It was what made him special. But we had that team of people. But what we realized over years, because you dig through those foxholes a couple of times and you find out how you get to the core of things, but you learn to appreciate the weaknesses that I have or the strengths of others and surround yourself with people who compliment you.
I love it. And you know what? It costs $20. StrengthFinders is a $20 book. The code is in the back of the book. You know, if you buy the book, you can take the assessment. But I think it's so important to know yourself and then to know your team. But we've got so much more that we need to talk about, Eric. But we do need to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with Eric Eager and Something Extra.
We at Technology Partners understand the difficulty to find work that is engaging, yields high pay, and facilitates a work-life balance. Over the past 25 years, we have enhanced the IT teams of over 244 client companies and placed more than 3,000 IT professionals with them on short-term or permanent basis. Our staff includes over 300 experienced IT professionals. So if you're looking to take the next step in your career, visit jobs.technologypartners.net, apply for a job, and one of our expert recruiters will be happy to connect with you.
So welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with Eric Eager. So Eric, we have talked about so much. You have given so many tidbits of wisdom, but I would love, just summarize, if you will, what are some of the major takeaways? And I mean, we've talked about mentors, we talked about cash is king, we've talked about a lot of those, but just summarize those for us real quickly before we move into some other areas.
Dan, the story with BizNet, we grew it to 52 different countries. We were in 3,000 companies globally, and eventually were acquired. And so we did get over that bridge and we had a successful exit. And so learn a lot there.
Congratulations.
A lot of luck, a lot of good people, and just working together to get things done. If you don't remember anything, the top two or three things I remembered along the way, A, people are the core of your business. And so make sure to surround yourself with people that are complementary to your weaknesses. Okay, that's number one. Two, cash is king. Monitor your cash. I don't care how big you are. My friend Pat, I talked to her. Big companies, big corporations, they will operate as if the parent company is just going to keep funding them cash. And so I don't care if you're mom and pop or if you're a division of a big strategic enterprise company, cash is to be monitored at every step. And then the last thing is that in today's world, you have to have data. Years ago, when I could make things through, I had the opportunity of time because things weren't changing so fast. Today, you've got to course correct quickly so that the timeframes that we used to have years and years to kind of figure stuff out, I think those are condensed into months. So the takeaway is make sure to pivot quickly and get data to make decisions now. We just don't have the luxury of time anymore. You have to move quickly or you'll be extinct.
Absolutely. And that is the perfect segue. That's why technology is so important, because things do change so quickly. If you're trying to do all of this manually, there's no way that you can. I mean, you've got to have that data, but you've got to have technology to help you. And so that's why I'm so excited for our listeners to hear what you're doing today. So obviously you sold BizNet, you co-founded 4Impact Data, and it was founded on this belief. Everyone should have affordable access to impactful data, and it's reinventing how organizations pay for analytics and business expertise by codifying wisdom. And I love that term, codifying wisdom. I mean, you've learned a lot of wisdom over the years, right? But what you're doing today is you're assimilating this data. You're trying to help them get the information so that they can course correct before everything blows up.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about 4Impact Data.
So in BizNet, what happens, we integrated to 52 different systems from manufacturing and distribution and all walks of life. And we had this great analytics tool and we were showing stuff. What happens is, like, we had 15 manufacturing systems. And it was funny because we'd be demoing, selling, and I kept hearing this happen. We'd be in presenting to an executive or a founder or, you know, and they'd be like, whoa, wait a minute, show me that report again. They were asking the same questions over and over again. Didn't matter what back-end system we had, people running the company were asking the same questions. And so that kind of led me to this thought of, well, wait a minute, there's more data than we have in the history of people on this planet right now. Sifting through that, it was like, wait a minute, I've learned through life, and I was lucky enough to hang on and get through an exit, that I look back in time. So if I asked you, Lisa, and I asked other successful people who have been through the journey and look back and say, hey, knowing what you know now, what would you do over? And what happened was, is I kept seeing this pattern of talking to successful people, and they want to pay it forward. They're like, hey, listen, I've been blessed. I am very thankful. And all I want to do is share it so people don't step in the same pothole as I did. And so you'll see all these books. And the challenge then was that for those people to share information, they usually go on a TED Talk, they'll write a book, or they do consulting. To the best, they're trying to help as many people as they can. Well, now what we're able to do, it's like a perfect storm between the power of artificial intelligence and analytics, and the price is coming down. You know, what we're trying to do, I couldn't have done 5, 10 years ago. Like, we can't, it would be unaffordable for small, medium-sized businesses.
Sure.
But now the power is going way up and the price has come way down. But you still need somebody, like, I'm giving you a toolbox. And here's what happened to me over and over again. And this is why I'm so passionate about this business. I'd start a business and I'd go, I need analytics. And so what happened is, and I've got friends that make lots of money doing analytics consulting. And they come in and they ask some questions. I implement the latest analytics software. It's great. Then my friends leave. And then all of a sudden, it is complicated. I don't know how to use it. And eventually it gets scrapped because nobody in the company is using it. So step one of this, make sure you've got a really good technology consulting firm that you work with, because they'll be a lifesaver. But here's what happened was, is then I said, this is broken. I was in the CEO Institute group for 10 years. And I heard story after story of, I need data. And I tried this project, it's too expensive. Then mold that with the market being available for analytics. And the third thing was that, wait a minute, everybody's asking the same questions. Because fundamentally, there's three types of businesses in the world. You either build something, you sell something somebody else built, or you provide a service. So what we did is that we go talk to smart people and ask them, what's your wisdom? What advice? And then we take that and we said, if I can go answer those questions, let's go see what question we need to answer first and start mapping it back to the data that measures it. And so build a system that's not going to throw 82 metrics and get into consulting speak. It's literally answering questions like, how many days can I survive with no revenue? Who are my best customers? Where are my customers located at? And so we're taking all that and baking it into a system that is on the, I want to say, the early edges of providing codified wisdom so that people don't make the same mistakes that I did, and that we can condense that learning curve faster. And I'm not going to guarantee you success, but gosh darn it, I'm going to do what I can to help you learn from other good people so that you have a greater chance. Because I didn't have access to customer acquisition costs, as an example. I didn't know that. So we spent all this money going to trade shows, and we found something that worked, and we spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes.
And those things work, don't get me wrong, but you got to monitor how much does it cost to get a customer in.
Wouldn't you have loved to have had that data?
Oh my God.
Because if you did, you know, then you do more of that, right? The things that work.
You get it. Again, this staying alive and long enough to figure it out. Well, we got to condense that time frame down so your learning curve gets much, much smaller. We have some phenomenal people sharing their knowledge. Like my friend Pat, I got friends of mine with the Harvard Alumni Business School group. And they are so kind and generous with their time in helping us.
Eric, at the end of the day, our purpose, we want to see more successful businesses, correct?
Bingo. Exactly.
Boy, I mean, the ripple effect of a successful business to the people's lives that are employed by that business. I know there's a stat out there that says only 5% of the 15 million companies in the United States grow bigger than 20 employees.
Exactly. When I saw that, there's so many things that hit ceilings. A, to survive. Two, is then you get to a certain size. The reason I get to a certain size is that I'm having to learn. I'm having to understand. I'm having to figure out the things I didn't have the luxury. So what we end up doing, because here's the other aha moment. Here's what happens. When you walk into my company and I say, well, my data is so unique and your needs are so unique, I've got to custom build your stuff. Well, After integrating with 52 different systems, and don't take a knock on our wonderful IT consulting AI people out there. They have a great job and do great things. But here's what I kept finding. You peel back the covers, and whether it's SAP or QuickBooks, guess what? In accounting, you got debits and credits. I peel it all back. I've got customer invoices. I've got customer data. And so a long, long time ago, I used to be a warranty writer at the car dealership. So when you came in to get your car fixed, I was the guy that was sitting there behind the counter coding everything so that the dealerships would get reimbursed. 20, 30 years ago, when you brought your car into the dealership, it was all about, you had to trust the mechanic because I didn't know.
Sure.
They'd come up there and they'd listen and they'd, yeah, okay, well, it looks like your fan belt's bad, you know, or you got something else. And I'd be like, how do you know that? Well, I just know my wisdom. Now, fast forward to today, you pull your car in the shop, you plug it in, and it gives you all these diagnostics of what's wrong, what needs to be fixed. And that was one of those, again, aha moments. What if we built something where we could pull all the data out, and myself and I have some phenomenal partners in this business, and we've all been in the data plumbing business for a long time, because big challenge is getting the data out. Well, we figure out how to do that. But once now I can run it through, I can plug your business into, or what we want to do is plug this business in, and it'll give you diagnostics and guidance. And it's what we've kind of come out with a product called BusyKG. And what we want to do is like a smart health device for your business.
Yeah. And the price point on it, Eric, is so reasonable. You know, it's not millions of dollars. I mean, you've got a great, it's a software as a service that companies can subscribe monthly to. And so I love what you're doing, and I cannot wait for our listeners to hear more about this. So it's what percentage of our sales come from repeat business versus brand new customers? I mean, all the questions that we all need to understand so that we can figure out how to keep doing more of the things that are working, you know, keep doing more of that so that you can survive and you can continue to thrive as an organization. So much good stuff. But I want to ask you, this is called Something Extra. What do you believe, Eric, is the something extras that every leader needs?
One thing is that back when we were in one of the ditches at one of my companies, and we had little cash, small group of people, and we had to execute. They had all these management theories, and we implemented something we called Top Three. And it was borrowed from Stephen Covey. Stephen Covey has this thing called wigs and pigs. Wildly important goals and pretty important goals. And pigs get in the way of wigs. What we came back and said, hey, listen, we only got a limited number of people. So what we're going to do is that we're going to list out our top three. And so when we were small, you could do it with 15 or 20 people. Each week we'd walk into a management team meeting and go, here's my top threes. If I can't get anything else done this week, I'm going to commit to get these three things. These are the three most important things I need to get done this week that will help us and the company grow. And eventually what happened was, is that you wake up and you got your heads down, you're executing. You wake up in 26 weeks and you got a whole bunch of stuff done. And I thought that, okay, that was just us at that stage, but I was helping a friend of mine at a tech company and they were getting lots of funding and he was struggling with it. And I just said, here's what worked for me. Try this top three and see if it works with your development team. And I checked with him a couple of months ago and he goes, kept it simple, straight to the point, we're getting stuff done.
Yeah. Oh, that is such an amazing piece of advice because I see taking on too much and then you get nothing done. Synthesizing it down to just those few. One of my favorite books is The One Thing.
Yeah.
Because it's looking at everything and simplifying. And so really having that discernment to know what those top three are. Now that's the secret.
Well, and eventually we got too big. And we couldn't do that individually. We implemented objectives and key results. They're called OKRs.
Yeah, OKRs. We do too.
I thought, well, that's for Google, blah, blah, blah. Google implemented OKRs when they were 10 people. And they still use them today. And it aligns the net is that we were hiring people so fast. But what happened, I was concerned about team members jumping in and we need you to be productive. And most people, in my opinion, we come to work, I want to do a good job. But I need to know, am I doing the right thing or am I doing the wrong thing?
Exactly.
Here's another one more tidbit here. People want to help, but they don't know how I help. Hey, you know what? I'm just an accounts payable person. How is anything I'm doing helping with strategic vision of the company? We connected it because guess what? Customers engage with you. They don't care what department they engaged with you. Their satisfaction is anybody touches it. So if I'm paying our bills on time, if I'm doing these things, that helps the company get cash in. Helping company cash helps fuel R&D, which then helps the company succeed. So objectives and key results will literally pinpoint down to how am I making a difference in the success of the company.
I love it, Eric. Thank you so much. Wow. So what do you, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what are you most excited about? I know what I'm most excited about when I talk to you, and that's this Biz EKG.
Well, thank you. And yeah, that I am super excited because, the thing about it is we're looking to help companies. Actually, we've had our business model reviewed by multiple experts. And the biggest challenge they said is that, hey, you guys aren't charging enough. But it doesn't stay true to our mission. And the mission is we're trying to help as many people as we can avoid the mistakes we made. If we can't do that affordably, then we're not helping people. Because the overall mission that we believe is that if we can help companies succeed, then that's more jobs for people. And if there's more jobs for people, then that helps everybody in the community. And so we're spinning up some great technologies. We've got an ability where it would notify you a list of customers that haven't purchased from you in the last number of days.
That's awesome.
And that's just one little nugget. So I'm super excited with the opportunity to help people and help businesses and entrepreneurs from startup to exit.
Well, how would our listeners find you? What's the URL?
It's the number 4. impactdata.com.
Very good. Well, Eric, thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure having you on. And like I said, you've just packed this episode in with tons of good stuff. So thank you for giving it away today. I so appreciate that.
I've been honored to have some great mentors and sponsors. So I'm just following their example of just share the information. And if it helps one person out there, it was worth the time today. So but thank you for that invitation to visit and chat with you and, you know, help other people out there.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, Eric.
All right. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc. 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.